Welcome to the My Crazy Office Podcast with the authors of Working With You Is Killing Me, Working For You Isn't Working For Me, and Mean Girls at Work, Kathy Elster and Katherine Crowley. They are committed to helping you navigate the hardest part of any job, the people. And now, here are Kathy and Katherine.
Hey everyone, I'm Kathy Elster.
And I'm Katherine Crowley, and welcome to My Crazy Office.
And today we want to welcome our guest who we're really excited about, Thomas Farley, also known as Mr. Manners.
Good afternoon to you both.
Good afternoon.
You've got to check out his website. How can people find out about you?
Oh, well, I'm on social media, Twitter at Mr. Manners, and Instagram as well, same ID. And then the website is whatmannersmost.com.
Beautiful.
Do you have a blog?
I do. I don't blog nearly as often as I should, but there is a blog on the website, which is What Manners Most.
There's a lot of video clips of you on TV, and that's really worth watching, everyone, because we all have these questions. All have these questions about the workplace.
I was going to say, I have to share with you that one of my fantasies is in my semi-retirement that I'm going to be a Manners mistress. Or
how about nun? A manners nun
is probably more like it. It's true.
That's more like it. So you're going to be in competition? Is that what you're saying?
No. I could be a soldier in your army.
The world needs more, please.
Yes, we do.
Please join the
we
fight.
We do. And I have a lot of fantasies about that. When we first moved into this building, which was at that time had what, like dust everywhere and concrete floors. Yeah. I would go from door to door and try to enlist everyone in, you know, handling the garbage properly and treating each other a certain way. And it was really probably hopeless, but that's my inclination.
Yeah, Catherine's definitely the more well-mannered person in this office. No, Logan, you are too, but I'm not always. Anyway, Logan, what's our first question?
Several of my coworkers have their cell phones on at all times. When someone calls or texts them, they immediately answer. I understand wanting to be in touch with friends and family during the workday, but is it really necessary to have your phones with you when we are in staff meetings? My boss does not say anything, but I think it's distracting. Is this normal?
Go ahead. I think it is.
It is unfortunately very normal, right?
Yeah.
But that's not good.
I think it's become the new norm. I don't know whether I'd actually go so far to say it's normal. It's definitely rampant in offices, and I do workshops across the country, and this is one of the big questions I get, is how do we manage our technology in a way that still allows us to be in touch in the way we're expected to be in touch? And sometimes it's a work call that you're anticipating or a work text that you're anticipating. So there, for certain people, there is that need to have the devices with us at all times and on and able to respond. But certainly the workplace is not a time for personal phone calls, especially lengthy ones or ones that are disruptive. So the ringer most certainly should be off. The dinger should be off. There should be nothing audible, especially if you're working in a cubicle. I'd say, ideally, if your family needs to reach you, they should be sending you an email. That's much less disruptive to the people sitting around you. Not that you want to abuse the email as well, but I think there is a little bit of give and take. We've all had our personal time encroached on by work things that now take place over the weekend, and we're expected to be responsive pretty much 24/7.
Right.
So I think it's only natural that the personal things start encroaching on work, but you've really got to limit it.
Yeah, I always think in meetings that people use it as a crutch. Like, it's there and they say, oh, I'm waiting for an important answer that I need to have. But then I think they're really texting their coworkers, making fun of the boss or something.
Well,
I think that's going
it's
on.
It's true. I think that's very true. And actually, we had a colleague who told us that as he was being fired, he was texting his friend in the other room to say they're letting me go. So not that that's a bad thing to do, but I think that the problem is that no one is then present for what's actually going on in the room, right? So can a boss or someone running a meeting ever say electronics off?
Well, here's the good angle here. The questioner obviously said that the boss doesn't seem to ever say anything. So maybe the boss is also an offender in this case. Maybe, in fact, maybe this person is talking about the boss or one of the bosses.
Right.
So I think the bosses really do have to set the example and also set the policy.
Yeah. Right.
That's
right.
That's uber important. And if that's happening and it's being violated, obviously then a conversation needs to take place. If the bosses are silent on the issue, but it's disruptive, I would actually, if it's a large enough company, I'd go to the human resources folks and say, look, this is something I've been noticing a lot here. I think it's counterproductive to my productivity and that of my coworkers as well. Can we set down a policy and take it from there?
You know, as a public speaker, I sometimes notice people in the audience are, right? So you must see that also.
Texting.
Yeah,
they're tweeting.
Well, they may be. They probably are tweeting.
The Senate tweets while they're listening to each other argue about a bill.
Yeah.
I mean, it is rampant, as you say. It is the new norm. So it's really, and you can hear my judgmental tone in all this, because the problem I have is I'm distracted enough as it is, mm-hmm. you know. I would like the ability, and I'd like to foster the ability for some of us to concentrate when you're actually trying to make decisions. So, mm-hmm.
and the phones are really just the tip of the iceberg, because the next 5 to 10 years are really going to bring some technologies that will make it far more difficult to perceive when somebody is paying attention to you.
Oh, you mean like in our watches? You mean
the smartwatch? But even beyond that is the embeddable contact lens version of Google Glass.
Right.
So you'll be tweeting, you'll be seeing your stock quotes, you'll be seeing your Facebook, whatever you want to see will be flashing before your eyes with no obvious sign that you're not paying attention to the person in front of you, except the fact that you're not responding.
Oh my God, that's so scary, creepy.
Wow.
Yeah. So I think it's really important to harness these issues now. And this, again, is something I talk quite a lot about. The technology in and of itself is not a bad thing. It has obvious good ramifications and applications for all of us. Mm-hmm. But we've got to really kind of think about the way we use it and be respectful. My big mantra is people over pixels. So if you're with somebody, the person should get the first round of attention versus the device in your hands.
So if you say something, if you see something, do you say something? Do you say, well, someone's texting, hey, people over pixels, and see what happens?
Or do you just take it out of their hands, smack them a little?
No, I wouldn't do that. But
of course you wouldn't. Of course not.
He's Mr. Manners. That would be, you know, counterproductive.
It's all about context. So if it's your boss who's doing that, I would not do that with the boss. But if it's a friend who you go out to lunch and this is happening all the time, I would definitely speak up. And sometimes people just need that little nudge in the right direction.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that does take us to when you're personally, you know, I don't know about you guys, but at the dinner table, it doesn't belong. And I know also when I'm with a friend, it's taken over. It's taken over our lives.
It's funny because I remember years ago when cell phones first came out, you would know that someone was particularly narcissistic when they placed their phone right on the table. They weren't texting mechanisms there, and waited for a call so that they could interrupt the conversation you were having with them during dinner, right? But now that interruption is standard operating procedure. So it's really kind of fascinating.
It is. And you've got the face uppers and the face downers with the phones.
Yeah. Ooh,
so depending on how disruptive they want to be, they're going to flip it. And, you know, facing it down is supposedly giving everybody lots of attention that maybe they even feel you don't deserve.
Right.
The phone is not a utensil. If you look at a place setting, at the forks and the knives, it's nowhere to be seen, nor should it be. So that phone should be away. It should not be on a table during
I think I saw in one of your videos the notion of having a basket where everyone puts their...
This was probably the cell phone stack idea, where you would do this with colleagues, again, not with a boss or not with clients.
right.
But if you're peers, friends or coworkers, you would go out to lunch or to dinner, and everybody would agree to put their phones in the center of the table in a stack at the beginning of the meal. And then the first person who can't resist and has to grab the ringing phone or the phone that's dinging pays for the entire meal.
Oh, I want to try that.
I know. That sounds great.
Yeah. It's a win-win. You either get a phone-free lunch or a free lunch.
Sounds great. But, you know, I get anxiety if too much time has gone by and I haven't looked at my phone.
Yes.
You get that too?
No. But the thing is, do you get that?
I'm not a Luddite. I love technology, but I love people too. So as long as the conversation at the table is moving along nicely, I don't miss my
devices.
You
don't feel that. But what about you, Logan? Do you?
I'm the same way.
Okay, you feel the anxiety.
But here's the thing, and this is a brain thing, that they've done tests that what you do is we get used to that hit. You get used to the hit, which is like a pleasure sensory experience. And so it's the withdrawal from the hit that you're really experiencing.
Oh, it's a withdrawal.
Yeah, okay. So when you don't have it, then you're like, oh my God, well, you know, I need it again. Right, and that's, right. I think, I'm sure much more will come out about this.
So right? It's very addictive.
Totally. Mm-hmm. It is.
Mm, okay. Thank you, Mr. Manners. That was really enlightening. That was great. All right, what's our next question?
I work in a small company and everyone is friends on Facebook. Sometimes I'm afraid to post pictures of my social activities for fear that my coworkers will want to be invited next time. How do I avoid this?
Well, here's a case for not being friends with your coworkers on Facebook. I think it's very ill-advised.
Yes.
Uh-huh. So definitely not with the boss, for sure. And coworkers only if you really are socializing with them on an ongoing basis. And this is your primary means of staying in touch with your friends. Otherwise, I would advise against it.
What do you say to the coworker who wants to be friends with you?
That's tricky. You know what I would say, though? I would have an offline conversation. So mm-hmm. I would reject the Facebook request, but I would then have a face-to-face and say, I got your Facebook friend request. Just want to let you know, I really only use it sporadically. I don't use it to communicate. And I use it as a means of keeping in touch with my nephews or my cousins and seeing what they're up to. But Facebook is not something that I use a lot. And for a lot of younger people, that's a very plausible thing to say these days.
Uh-huh,
because
yes.
We know the 20-somethings don't really use Facebook right. Barely at all.
Right.
So I would simply say that, and yeah. And most people will understand.
That's great.
Yeah.
See, I think everything on Facebook is public.
It is.
It's really public, and I think we forget about that.
Yeah.
And too many people are friends with their coworkers on Facebook. I think it's a problem.
Well, it's interesting because it's not just social events, right? It's political opinions.
Right.
I mean, there are many things that get expressed on Facebook. And
what's tricky is you'll maybe post something innocuous, and then you get two friends, people who don't even know one another, who start battling it out with one another on your Facebook wall, and it gets really ugly very fast. So, again, better to just not have that be an issue at all. Keep the Facebook friends to your college friends and to your family maybe, and keep it at that.
Right.
Post photographs of kittens, that kind of
thing. Right. There you go.
Right. Well, no, to keep it pretty clean and keep it pretty informative, but yet not too personal. Right. That's going to be hard for people.
What a difference from its origins, right? I mean, originally it was all about the people and about uncovering people and talking about them and connecting them.
And dating, I think, was a big motivator for it when it was really just about the Ivy Leagues
initially. Yeah, yeah.
And then kind of expanded out about to colleges. It was finding out who was available. But certainly it's grown far beyond that.
And, you know, all recruiters or anyone who does hiring is going to check your Facebook.
Yeah.
They're not going to be able to see everything, but they're absolutely going to check your photos and how you present yourself. So it's another reason to be pretty cool on Facebook if you're going to be on it.
And the privacy settings are changed so regularly.
Yes.
You need an attorney to be able to stay on top of them. We all hit that accept button, but what are you really accepting?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It's a dangerous world out there.
Yeah. So what else, just on the line of these thoughts, would you like to tell our listeners?
Sure. Well, I think, you know, given that this is still the dog days of summer, I think something that people are really struggling with, I see this a lot, again, in the workshops that I do, is appropriate attire for the office.
So
as the weather gets warmer, the standards really drop. The thermometer rises and the standards drop. So I think it's really important, especially where companies have a quote-unquote business casual policy, to really drill down on the company side, on the HR, to say, okay, what do we mean by business casual? What do we expect
from business casual?
Define
it
clearly.
Exactly.
Right.
And so many, I work with so many companies, they'll say, let me see your dress code before I come in and do work with your employees. And they'll say, well, we don't really, it's just business casual. That's really kind of, we just leave it at that. But then they all have problems with it and people take advantage of it. So I think it's going to be different for every industry. Obviously, every industry has its own uniform. A bank is going to be far different from a fashion magazine.
Yeah.
But it's really something that speaks volumes about who you are.
Right.
And I think in terms of the impressions that people do make of you, within the first 7 seconds of meeting us, people will form an impression of us, a very solid impression of us when they're meeting us for the first time. And so your eye contact, your body language, your handshake, all of that are very important. But the attire is the first thing they're going to see.
Right, yeah. Especially the amount of flesh that may be exposed while they're talking to you.
Yeah, that is
It can be
so
very
true.
Distracting.
Yeah.
Your tattoos.
You're 100% right. Yeah. Oh, God,
right,
yeah.
Right.
Wow. It sounds like you have volumes of stuff to share with our audience. So we'll just have to have you back.
Yes, we will.
It'll be my pleasure.
So thank you so much. Just give us your website again,
how people
can find you.
Thank you. It's whatmannersmost.com.
And whatmannersmost.com.
And don't forget his Twitter. Your Twitter is?
Mr. Manners, M-I-S-T-E-R.
And on we go. So join us next time for another round of My Crazy Office. And don't forget to send your questions to info@mycrazyoffice.co.
Join us next time for another My Crazy Office podcast. And don't forget to send your questions to info@mycrazyoffice.co.